Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Pop the popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas, and grab a drink, because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sierra Unfiltered. I have my lovely husband, Steven, here with me today.
Hey, what up?
How's it going,
Steven? It is going good. I got my Mai Tai here, and I'm ready to do this.
I am very excited. We're going to talk about how we met and kind of our story. Which is going to be really fun because it's something that we've like mentioned, like, oh, we've met at Disneyland. And I think we told the story in one of our like very first vlogs, but we were driving and it was very loud. And so I never link that video when people are like, how did you meet? I'm like, there's a video about it, but the audio quality is awful. So
yeah,
we're going to tell it today. I'm excited. Obviously, we have Steven here today instead of Skylar. Skylar is just taking a week off to relax and unwind, and we fully support her. We stand prioritizing your mental health in this house.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a good opportunity for us to tell this story. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And speaking of sound quality, I think the air conditioning is on, so might be something we can hear.
Yes,
but
we got air conditioning, which I'm so excited about, because when we bought this house, it did not have AC, and so we were waiting until a good time to get it installed. Now we have it, which is really, really nice. So this is our first time experimenting with filming while the AC is on. So if there is any sort of like hum in the background, I apologize. I don't think there will be, because we can't hear anything right now. And especially wearing like a long sleeve today, that is just a game changer.
Yeah, so we accidentally left it on, so we'll see. We'll play this, you know, a little science experiment. But speaking of the long sleeve, there's a reason you're wearing a long sleeve, right?
We are matching. I got Steven and I these.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I'm also wearing it. I am working on a video right now where I bought products from Black-owned small businesses, and one of them was called Shop Amber Rochelle, and she does these handmade tie-dye outfits, and she makes like unisex, men's, women's, dogs. I got a matching one for Bruiser, baby onesies. It was really, really cute.
Yeah.
So
we just did a little clip downstairs where we all kind of posed for a family photo. So
it was fun. Steven was like, wait, we're filming the podcast. We should keep these on and match. And I was like, you know what? We're telling the story of how we met. Let's match.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it. Which actually is a good opportunity to talk about kind of everything that has been going on since we last filmed a podcast episode. Yeah. So after the murder of George Floyd, there were protests, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the most important thing to highlight, I mean, not the most important, but one of the important things to highlight is that, like, I think a lot of people want things to just go back to normal now that the officers who were responsible were arrested and charged. But what I've really learned from listening to the voices of the Black community is, like, that is not the only thing that this was about. This has been like hundreds of years in the making. Like, there are so many obstacles that the Black community faces. And yes, this was kind of spurred by the horrible murder of George Floyd, but also there's so many other things that we need to change and that we need to be working towards. And I've definitely learned a lot the past couple weeks, and I've really been trying to reflect on what I can do better, not only just as like a YouTuber and someone with a platform, but as a human being. And what can I do online? What can I do offline? Because as much as I, you know, really love to talk about inclusivity and diversity on my channel, I wasn't doing enough before this. And I I hadn't really opened my eyes enough. And that's a huge privilege in that I, like, my first small businesses video was entirely white and I didn't notice because I've never had to think about not being represented. Like, I am a straight, white, cisgender woman. I am very represented in the media. The only thing about me that I don't usually see in media is the fact that I'm, like, mid-size, plus size. And so I, when I was choosing these small businesses, I didn't think about that. Yeah. And I think the most powerful thing that I was kind of taught about that is I was talking to a viewer in my DMs who's Black, and she was like, you know, I don't blame you for not choosing more diverse businesses for that video, but you have to understand the reason that you didn't notice is a privilege. And I was like, that is a very good point. Like, I don't have to think about it. And yeah. I need to make myself think about it because it's a privilege that I've gotten to learn about racism instead of experiencing it. And it's hard to talk about online because I'm always worried I'm going to say something wrong or word something wrong. And, you know, I'm far from perfect and I'm going to make many mistakes. But I think the most important thing, especially as someone with a platform, is to not only be talking about it, but to be working towards inclusivity and anti-racism. And I'm trying my best, but I can always do more. And Steven has really helped me to kind of reflect on my channel and say, what can we do better?
Yeah, for me, like, this is, it's so real and it's so important to keep listening and keep learning and to kind of keep using that platform to send that message out.
And I think another thing is it's really important to be amplifying the voices of the Black community and listening to them, because as a white couple, you know, we don't experience racism. And so I think something we've been really trying to balance too on the vlog channel is making sure that we're using that platform to bring light to it without making it about ourselves, because it's not about us. We're the privileged people in this situation, and there's always more work we can be doing to be anti-racist and to stand up against racism. And I think this past month has been us taking a good long look at ourselves and our platform and saying, what can we do better online and offline? And I'm very grateful that you are just as passionate about it as I am, and that you want to be out there going to protests and listening to speeches. And, you know, we've been watching anti-racist documentaries together, and it's been something that we've been learning together. And I also want to say we're going to be donating all of the AdSense from this podcast to a donation outlet that's fighting racial injustice. There's a couple that we've been donating to, as well as GoFundMes and, you know, just other organizations that are really doing the work that needs to be done. And so, yeah, thanks guys for watching and listening. And we're excited to tell you the story about how we met.
Yeah. So before we get into the story, do you want to do a hot take?
Ooh, I do have a hot take. But before we do that, Steven, what you drinking?
Ooh.
Because there's a story behind what we're drinking, and I think you should tell it.
Yeah. So I got suckered into an Instagram ad, and it was like, It was like a Keurig cocktail thing. It's called Drinkworks. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then, like, they had a big rebate going on. So I was like, ooh, it's, like, on sale. And I went full send. And, yeah, here we are.
it's not a Keurig product. It is like a Keurig. But it is what Keurig is for coffee, but for cocktails.
So it actually is a Keurig product.
Really? I thought it wasn't.
It's a joint venture with Keurig and someone else who's like in the liquor business, who I don't know the name of.
I stand corrected. It is a Keurig product.
Yeah.
But basically, so you buy the little pods and then you put them into this machine and it makes you a cocktail. So Steven came to me like a week and a half ago and he showed me the ad. He was like, I really, really want this. Can this be a Father's Day gift to me from the dogs?
That's what the sale was for.
And I was like, you know what, Steven? I have spent a lot dumber money on dumber things. And, you know, it's just us in the house right now, but hopefully eventually we'll be entertaining. And that's a fun thing to have when you entertain people. So he bought it and we tried it for the first time yesterday and we loved it. So I am drinking a rosé spritzer and it is freaking-tastic.
Yeah, and I am drinking a Mai Tai. Yeah, and it was also like, so I think we're going to do a vlog soon, but we just sold our other house. So
yes.
For me, it was also like, here's something for the house in memory of the old house.
Why is that in memory of the old house?
You know, it's just little things that justify the purchase and that's all that matters. But yeah, no, it's cool. So yeah, and then Keurig is like trying to be more proactive with all the recycling stuff, because obviously the pods have been known not to be super recyclable. So this time around, like, they give you a big bag and you put all the pods in there and then you kind of seal them up and
send them back to them and they reuse them.
Yeah, and then they recycle them.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I appreciate those little things that, you know, it is a thing that to be aware of.
You love your little tech gadget, kitchen gadget things, and this is what I'm all on board for. All right, so hot takes. Do you want me to go first or you?
I'll go first because okay. I'm very passionate about mine.
Okay, go.
So also in the spirit of our story involves Disneyland.
Okay.
And, you know, Disneyland's a big part of us. So my hot take, the Little Nemo ride, a.k.a., you know, the submarine ride at Disneyland, top notch. One of the greatest rides in the park.
Hard disagree. Okay, if you haven't been to Disneyland, let me just walk you through what the Finding Nemo submarine is. So you get into a little submarine. You go underwater.
Which, like, pause, already super dope ride.
Your seats are this close together to everyone. You're crammed into this little box where you just go through, like, the scenes of Finding Nemo. And one time I was in there and someone farted and the whole thing just smelled awful the whole time. So, not a fan of Finding Nemo, but I have been on it quite a few times for you.
So you described a dope ride, and then your farting situation, I'm calling that's fake.
No, you were there!
That thing is so well ventilated, and it's just constantly, like, cycling air. It'd be filtered instantly.
I would not recommend that ride if you get claustrophobic at all. Also, it's just not kinda that true. Fun. So it's not worth it.
There's nothing like being in a crowded hot park and just sitting in a nice, cool little AC thing, just staring out a window. Ooh, fishies.
Packed together with a bunch of other sweaty tourists.
You lean forward in the window and you're all alone. It's just you and the sea. I stan it. It's a great ride.
I know you like that ride.
So anyways, I doubt you have something as exciting as I did there.
Actually, I do. And my hot take actually involves you a little bit.
Uh-oh.
But it's not like roasting you or anything. It's actually just like, we were talking about it this morning. So I posted a video on Friday where I tried on swimsuits from Aerie. And at the beginning of the video, I made a joke about, like, oh, this is my first time shaving in, like, weeks. And there were at least 5 or 10 comments I saw that were like, you don't shave? I thought you were married. In my opinion, women who have a partner should shave at least every 3 days. And, like, all the comments about me not shaving were related to you. It was like, doesn't your husband want you hairless? It was just, like, weird. And so I tweeted about it. And you know what? Let me grab my phone because I threw it on the floor. Hold on.
Yeah, you chucked it on the ground as we started filming.
All right. So I tweeted and I said, in my video yesterday, I joked about how I haven't shaved in weeks. And someone commented and said, but you don't have a husband? Yes. And he's very aware that I am a human woman with body hair. And then my next tweet is kind of where my hot take comes from. But I said, what's comical is that people love to say body hair is gross on women, but never say anything about men's body hair. Why is it only gross when women have leg hair and not men?
Yeah.
It's still body hair, and my husband's legs are way hairier than mine anyways. But I feel like there's been so much progress in the past 10 or 20 years with, like, the way that our society in general thinks about women and talks about women. But the double standard when it comes to body hair is just so strange to me because it's still hair. So why is it that, like, men with hairy legs, it's just, oh, well, that's men. But women with hairy legs, it's like, disgusting. Go shave it off. I mean, if you want to shave, shave. But if you don't. And don't shame people because they do or don't shave.
Yeah. Well, in this house, that's not a hot take.
That's true. That was my last tweet, I guess I should read, is I was talking to Steven about it. So I tweeted, I was reading Steven these tweets and he goes, if your husband thinks your body hair is gross, maybe the problem isn't the hair, it's the husband. And I loved that.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that.
I remember we had been dating for like maybe a year and I like hadn't shaved my legs in like a week or something and I kept apologizing for it. I was like, oh, sorry, my legs are so hairy and gross. And you were like, I don't care if you shave your legs or not. Like, that's kind of a you decision. And that blew my mind. I was like, hold on. I don't have to shave my legs?
Yeah, I don't know. That's like, it's a you thing. I don't know. Like, if I shave my beard, do I have to, I don't know. I don't do, like, I don't like shave my beard for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like,
well, yeah, I just think, you know, there is such this double standard about men and women and body hair. And
yeah, I definitely see what you're talking about.
Especially in the United States. I know it's different in a lot of other countries, but I personally like shaving sometimes, and sometimes I don't. And so, I don't know. I just think it's such a personal decision, and the double standard needs to get on out of here.
Yeah, no. It is interesting what little things kind of stick around so adamantly and which ones don't. So.
I know. But I'm very grateful that you are a Renaissance man.
Yeah. I also feel very hippie, like crunchy granola talking about this in our tie-dye
shirts. Man, just grow out of the leg hair. All right, Should we get into our story?
Yeah, so Disneyland, and here we are today, and that's it.
Thanks for coming. Bye. Cue the outro. No, but okay, I guess I'll start, and I'll let you jump in whenever you want. So back in spring 2013, I was dating a guy, my like high school boyfriend, and we were at Disneyland. We had annual passes, so we would go a lot. And Steven was there with our mutual friend. So Steven and I had never met. I didn't know about him, but he knew of me just like from her social media posts and stuff.
Like recognized.
You recognized me. But this was long before YouTube. So he didn't like recognize me
just like a girl tagged in my friend's photos.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
So Steven's at Disneyland with our mutual friend. I walk by. I'm wearing this big giant silver bow. And I was with my high school boyfriend. And I'll let you take it from there.
Well, and then we're like, so we passed you, and I just remember like your face and the big bow, like it was just a very memorable thing for me. And then we walked past you, and I was like, wait, isn't that your friend, kind of thing? And I pointed to you, and then I was like, oh yeah, it is. So we ran up, and then you know, you and mutual friend like met.
We talked. We're like, oh my gosh, how crazy that we're all at Disneyland. And me and my boyfriend had just gotten fast passes for Space Mountain, and so had you guys. So we were like, oh, cool. Let's meet up later, and I'll go on Space Mountain together. So we hung out that day, kind of like a double date, but you weren't really dating our mutual friend. You guys were just friends.
It was just, let's go to Disneyland
kind of thing. So we essentially, like, double dated that day. and then Steven added both me and the guy I was dating on, I think, Facebook or Instagram. And I remember on the drive home, the guy I was dating being like, oh, that guy Steven was so nice. I was like, yeah, I know. He was super nice. So was the girl. They're great. We should hang out with them again. But we never did hang out again. Yeah. But we added each other on social media. Like 6 or 8 months go by. That relationship ends. And Steven decided to slide into the DMs. So since that was kind of your perspective, you go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, and you know, before we leave the Disney part, it's so fun saying that, like, oh, like, where'd you guys meet? Like, oh, we met at Disneyland. And it sounds very, like, fun and exciting, but the reality is that was not what that was.
Yeah,
it's just kind of, like, matter of fact, yeah, I was first talked to her at Disneyland.
Yeah, but it was, like, 8 months after that first interaction at Disneyland till we ever, like, talked again or saw each other again.
Yeah, so I was, let's see here, I was about to go on a cruise. So, like, this was the night before the cruise, and, you know, when you go on a cruise, you're just, like, out there, no phone service, no nothing. So, like, from that fact that I would be gone for a while, I got a little bravery. So then I was, you know, I knew that you were single, and I decided just to send a little message, just get some feelers, like, hey, remember me?
So did you have a crush on me from that Disneyland day, or just from following me on social media, or like, did you just randomly decide I want to message this girl that I met one time?
Yeah, so it was like just kind of when you were, well, definitely, so like once you got single, I remember just seeing it, you were like, were a thing I'd think about, like, huh.
A thing you'd think about.
A thing I'd think about. And then, you know, when I left for the cruise ship, I figured I'd just, let's just send a message to Sierra and see what she says.
But you left out a crucial part, another Disney aspect. So a week before that cruise thing, I went to Disneyland with my best guy friend, who we were like totally platonic, but we took a photo like hugging in front of the castle or something. And I think you told me recently that you saw that and were like, oh man, she might not be single, or she might be starting a relationship. If I want to talk to Sierra, I gotta do it now.
You're right. That was it. That was, yeah. And that was like the puzzle piece that got the gears turned in my head.
The catalyst.
And then the thing that made me act on that was in the cruise ship, where I was like, I'm gonna go away, I can send a message, if it gets embarrassing, I'll be out in Mexico. So
was the idea that like you send the message before you go on the cruise, and then if I don't respond, then you just don't have to think about it ever again?
Yeah.
Because now, I
think that's what I was going for.
Now knowing you, I am shocked that you cold messaged me on Facebook.
The source of the bravery from going on a cruise to be gone for like a week or two was that bravery.
We need to thank my friend for being the catalyst of that and taking the hugging picture at Disneyland. Because otherwise, you might never have messaged me.
Yeah. Those two things... I have an ice cube in my mouth. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Those two things together definitely led to that. So, anyways, I sent my message.
And it was essentially like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but we met at Disneyland and I always thought you were cute. Or something like that.
Yeah. And then
I responded in 5 seconds because I was a thirsty girl and you were a cute guy. And so I'm sitting there, single Sierra, been single for a couple months, and I get a message from this cute guy. And I was like, I'm messaging back right away. Also, I've never been someone who's like a hard to get kind of person. Like, if I like someone, I'm not going to like be coy about it. I'm just going to be like, yeah, you're also cute. Want to go on a date?
Yeah. So then it was like 6 hours of like little back and forth. And I was like, okay, well, actually, I'm going on a cruise. Peace.
So we had this great conversation, just like talking and stuff in DMs, like flirting. We exchanged numbers. And then 6 hours later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going on a cruise, so I'm not going to have my phone for a week and a half. And I was like, oh, okay, no worries. And I was never someone who, like, fell really hard. I've talked about this before, but I was always someone who, like, took a long time to develop feelings for someone. And that week that you were gone, I was in New York with my friend Kenzie, and I was journaling a lot at the time. And I kept talking about you in my journal entries and then being like, why am I even thinking about this guy? We talked for 6 hours and I'm sure nothing's going to come of it. And it's, why am I so hung up on this guy? But there was this weird, like, I don't know. I had this like weird feeling that something, and I've never been someone with like a strong intuition, but I just felt like there was something that was going to come from it. Why are you laughing at me?
It's funny.
Why?
Because opposite side of the coin. You know, and I love you so much. Mm-hmm. But I was on a cruise just having a blast. Like,
you never thought about me. You just started drinking.
I had sent a fun message to a girl who I did not know. And then I was on a cruise going, woo, just having a time. And then I guess to move the story along. So then the night I came back or the morning after whatever. As one is on a cruise ship, I woke up very hungover. And I was just like, man, life's rough, blah, blah, blah. And then I woke up to a text. And I was like, because I had just gotten back to Miami or whatever it was. And I got a text, and it was from Sierra. And she's like, hey, like, I hope you had an awesome trip and so much fun. And, like, you know, I'm looking forward to talking again and getting to know you a little better. And I don't know why, but, like, in that moment, seeing that text, because, like, you know, it's not something I would have expected. And it was just very, dope.
It was dope.
It was dope in the greatest meaning of that word. So that's, for me, that was the, I don't know, it was a very important moment for me of like, she seems understanding. She seems nice. So yeah, for me, that was like then the part where I like did a double take and was like, wait, who is this girl I'm talking to?
So
how do I find out more?
On that flight back from New York, so not to New York, but back from it, that's when I texted you because, so I'm on that flight, I'm sitting with Kenzie, and I reread our conversation probably 10 times, just trying to like, I was like hyper analyzing every little thing and asking Kenzie. I was like, what do you think he meant by this? Like, what do you think he meant by this? No, 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 no. Like going through
everything. Meanwhile, my phone is off in my suitcase the whole week.
Getting hammered on the cruise ship.
No, I was having fun.
You were having fun with your friends. Meanwhile, I'm on this plane just reading these texts over and over again. And Kenzie goes, you should send him a message right now so that when he gets back from the cruise, he knows you were thinking about him. And so that's why I sent the message. Yeah. So I was like, hey, I hope you're having a fun time, because I read our conversation like 400 times. So.
Yeah. So, Steven, we came back.
Steven comes home from the trip. And at this point, we were still just like flirting. Like, we weren't even talking about like going on a date. We were just talking about hanging out. So we text a lot for that week after he gets back. And then he's like, hey, and this was right before Christmas. So he was like, oh, you know, once the holidays are done, we should hang out. And I was like, yeah, sure, totally. And
I came back Christmas Eve, so.
Yes.
Or Christmas Eve morning, whatever the heck it was, but.
So we're texting, and I remember this so clearly. I was at the Yellow Deli with my friends. I was eating a veggie sandwich. I remember it so clearly. And we had been texting about what we wanted to do when we hung out. Mm-hmm. And you had said, I know a great Italian restaurant, and then we should go look at Christmas lights. And I responded, and I said, that sounds like a date, ? And you said, oh, I remember it so clearly because I thought it was so sweet.
I don't remember any of this.
See, I journaled about all of this, so I have all my journal entries. You said, well, I think I might only get one chance to impress you, so I have to make it count. It's a date. And that, like, confidence, which I love.
I said that?
You said that.
Are you sure that was me?
I know. Now knowing you and the, you know, kind of shy, more reserved person you are, and thinking back to how kind of direct you were in those first messages, it's like, it's kind of leaves me shook. I'm like, you were like really going for it.
You should show me some of those so I can remember what great guy I was. No.
My journal entries? You were, but that's what made me so like excited, because I had, at that point, I had never just been on a date. I had gone on dates with guys I was already like boyfriend and girlfriend with, but I had never had a guy just be like, I like you, I want to take you on a date. We're going to go to an Italian restaurant and we're going to look at Christmas lights. And I only have one chance to impress you, so I'm going for it. Like, I had never had anyone be that like direct, and I was like, okay, let's do it.
So yeah, I thought you were going in on it because I just had so many good jokes. I thought you were there for the humor.
I was definitely not there for the humor. But you did make a Disney reference in one of our first text messages that I so remember. Do you remember what it was? It actually wasn't our first text message. It was after the first date.
No.
Okay, so I'll come back to the first date. But after our first date, which went well, you texted me and you said, I feel like you're Aladdin because you're my or you said, I feel like I'm Aladdin because you're my diamond in the rough. You said that.
I cringe a little bit at that.
But it was cute. I was like, oh my gosh.
In my new self, I don't know if I'd ever say that today. I'd say it to you, QT, Wootsy, but if I was like in the flirting game again, I don't know if that's so much.
I know. And that's like, I just remember that so clearly. And you were so freaking cute.
I must have been pulling out all the stops for you.
You were. You really were. Okay. I've talked a lot. So now you tell the story of our first date.
Well, you should be talking a lot because you have the details. I don't.
That's true. I have all the journal entries.
Let's see. So first date.
Well, actually.
No, so we actually did a pre-date. So we had planned the date on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like the morning of the 26th. And we got a little impatient. So I think we decided to have a little pre-date.
Well, you said, what are you doing tonight? And I had plans, but I lied. And I said, oh my God, I don't have plans. Like, what are you doing? What do you want to do? And you were like, oh, well, I don't want to spoil our first date because we already have it planned. But maybe we could go on a pre-date. And I was like, okay, let's go on a pre-date.
Did we just go see a movie or did we get dinner and a movie?
So you came and picked me up from my parents' house.
Ooh, an important detail there. I remember I lost my car keys.
You lost your keys.
I pick you up. I'm like, here, come back to my sweet red Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get in the car. I'm like, oh, I can't find my car keys.
So we're just sitting in front of my parents' house. He's like looking for his keys through everything. I'm just like sitting there like, okay, so how's it going? Keep in mind, this is our first time seeing each other since we had first met.
Our first, I'll say, true interaction.
Yes. So all these like nerves had bubbled up from like all the, that like past week of texting and all that. And you can tell me to cut this out, but I'm just going to say it and then you can tell me if you want me to cut it out.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't know that you were someone who was pursuing like an education. So at this time, Steven had kind of like the way his hair is now, but longer. And he dressed in like all black and he drove a red Mustang and listened to EDM. So I thought he was this raver kid who was just, you know, hanging out, didn't really have much aspiration. So I'm already like still interested in you thinking that. We get in the car, we start talking. I'm like, oh yeah, so you go to our local community college. What are you studying? And you were like, oh, actually, I want to be a computer engineer. And so I want to transfer to a four-year. And you start kind of telling me your plan. And I'm like, this man has aspirations? What? I'm like, he's cute. He likes Disney. He is very forward and asks me out on this date. And he has like a life plan. I was so, after that, after I found out that you weren't just someone who wanted to listen to EDM music and hang out in your room at your parents' house,
that is what I want to do.
That's what you want to do, but you were also pursuing a career. Yeah. I was pretty smitten.
Wow. I don't even know what that word means, but I'm dope. I use the word dope.
Dope.
That's more my vocab level.
Smitten. It was dope. All right. So I keep talking over you. I'm sorry.
No. So, okay. So that was the pre-date. I think we like walked on the beach and saw a movie.
See, it's hard to let you tell the story because you don't remember the details.
That's the details.
So you picked me up. We talked in the car. I found out that you had big dreams and goals.
Right. And then I proposed some options, like, in real time.
Yeah. You were like, oh, so our movie is at 7. And he picked me up at, like, 5 or whatever. And he was like, we could...
It's like, go to the beach.
Go to the beach.
Climb a mountain.
Climb a mountain.
Go on a legit hike.
There's a hike nearby, like, where we live that everyone... kind of like does as like that's a common date activity, but during the day I'm dressed all cute, I'm in my slouchy boots and my little cardigan, and you're like, do you want to go hike this mountain?
Yeah, it's pretty
at 6 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock at night.
Maybe someone would call it a hill, but it's like a 30, not even 30 minutes, probably 10 to 20 minutes, but like very steep dirt.
Very steep.
So like if you're dressed cute, you're not going to be having a good time.
So I was like, how about the beach? Beach sounds nice. So we went to the beach, we walked on the beach. He didn't hold my hand or anything. I was kind of thinking he might. And so I kept kind of like putting my hand down, being like, oops, brushed your leg. Oops, oops, oops. And he never held my hand. So I start thinking, okay, he's not actually interested in me. He just wanted to flirt over text. Why was he so forward about this date? And then he's being so shy in person. Because you were not being flirty. You were not trying to hold my hand. You were not doing anything. And so I start kind of like second guessing it. But then we go to the movie. And we're sitting in the movie. And
what movie was it? It was like a Mary Poppins.
It was Saving Mr. Banks.
Oh, yes. A classic.
And so we're sitting in the movie theater. And one of the things we had been texting about was I was playing poker with my family. And you were like, oh, I love playing poker. We should be poker buddies. And so then we kind of kept flirting that way, being like, oh, I'm in the pool. Oh, we should be pool buddies. So we kept using that like buddies thing.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the movie, not holding hands. Not just sitting next to each other. That's it.
Just two humans enjoying a good movie.
Yep. And you whispered to me in the movie theater was very empty. I think we were in like the back row. And you said, oh, I remember it so clearly. I reread all my journal entries, by the way, before this podcast to refresh my memory.
I'm pre-cringing.
Do you remember?
I do remember.
You say it then.
Yeah. So I remember I leaned over and I was like, hey, because like, I don't know how to be a smooth guy and try to get a first kiss. But I was like, hey. Want to be kissing buddies?
He dead ass asked me in the middle of this movie theater, do you want to be kissing buddies?
Ooh, it makes me get a little sweaty saying that.
And I don't remember if I said yes or if you leaned in or if I leaned in, but then we kissed and we had our first kiss. Mm-hmm. So then the rest of that movie, we held hands. And then when we walked back to the car, you kissed me again. And then we went to frozen yogurt and you kissed me again. And then when we went home, I was like, oh my God, he likes me. He did kiss me. I was so excited.
Yeah, and then the next day, we had our sweet, sweet Italian dinner mm-hmm. at the local favorite. Mm-hmm. And then saw some Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which I've told you this now. But so we were at this...
You having to pee?
Yeah. So we were at this Italian restaurant. And I drink a lot of water normally. So I probably pee what? Like at least once an hour. I pee a lot. And so we're at this Italian restaurant. I'm drinking quite a bit of water, and I keep getting nervous. And so what's a thing to do when you aren't, like, talking or saying something? Reach for your water.
Yeah, just keep being busy.
Keep yourself busy. So I probably drank, I don't know, 5 or 6 glasses of water. The waiter kept refilling it. I kept getting nervous. So by the end of the dinner, I go to the bathroom and I pee. But by the time we walk to the car, I already have to pee again.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, first of all, so nervous already on my first real big girl date. Second of all, like, having to pee so freaking bad that my stomach hurts. And I don't want to, I feel like it would have killed the mood, but maybe I was just dumb and young and insecure and I didn't want to ask you to pull over so I could pee at, like, a Taco Bell or something. So I said to Steven, I was like, oh, I'm kind of thirsty. Could you stop at this CVS so I can go in and buy a water? So he was like, okay. So I go in, like, you didn't drink enough water at dinner? So I ran into the CVS and pee and then bought a bottle of water as my cover. But then, of course, by the time we got to the Christmas lights, I had to pee again. So I spent most of that first official date just, like, in pain from
and also
to
pee. Slightly correct that, I'm pretty sure that the water pee break was after the lights.
Oh, was it?
So like, you had tortured yourself for so long.
I think you're right.
On our way home, we stopped, so.
I think you're right.
I remember that, and I remember that story. That was the funny part of the story. So you're like, oh, wow, look at the pretty Christmas lights. Ooh.
Well, and especially looking at Christmas lights, there's not, like, a bathroom. I couldn't, like, ask some person if I can go pee in their house.
Yeah. No, so that, and so, okay, so that's the beginning of the story. That's the fun part. Mm-hmm. Well, it's all fun. You know, mm-hmm. Cheers.
Well, we have glasses. Why are we cheersing with a high five?
Well, look how low mine is.
Cheers to that. And that was, how many years ago was that now?
That was 2013. 13. So a nice smooth seven.
It'll be 7 years this December.
7 years this December, yeah. So, and then after that, it was just kind of, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. The silly, silly. And then we got to, it was an interesting point of our lives because, so Sierra, you were getting ready to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to transfer from community college to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were both like in this transition stage.
So we, I was, were you the one who originally said that you didn't want to be official or was it me?
It was you.
It was me?
You were being like hard to get.
Not purposely. I think I just wanted to go to college single. So we...
Well, that was both of our mindsets at the beginning. It's like, oh, like this will be fun before we go to college.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, we could like just call a label, but then like still not, you know, no long-term commitments,
yeah,
even in the boyfriend-girlfriend thing. Because I was like, oh, this should be boyfriend-girlfriend, then break up when we go to school. And you were like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. So we started dating.
Yeah.
So we were going on dates from that, like, the December 26th till mid-January. And then mid-January was when we had that conversation where you were like, do you want to be official? And I was like, you know, honestly, no. Like, you can see other people. I'll see other people if I want. And we're both going to college, so we shouldn't... It's not a good time for us to get tied down.
Yeah. Like, we don't want to make this serious.
Yeah. I don't think either of us were in the mindset of, like, this is forever. And then a couple weeks go by, and I remember we were at Disneyland because we both had passes, so we did go quite a bit in those early stages of the relationship.
Yeah.
And that was like, you told me later down the line that was the when you fell in love with me.
It was like one of the Disneyland trips.
That Disneyland trip. Yeah. And I think I felt the same way because, so we're at Disneyland, it's all cute. We go on Peter Pan together. He's like cuddling me during the fireworks. And then we go to California Adventure, and we're waiting in line for Toy Story.
Nah, I remember this.
And we had already had that conversation that I didn't want to date. And we're just standing there in line, and I looked at you, and I said, I'd date you. And you were like, I thought you said you didn't want to date. And I was like, I think I changed my mind. I think I want to date you. And you just said, okay. And I was like, are you going to ask me to be your girlfriend? And you were like, not right now. And I was so offended because I thought I had this idea in my mind that we had this great day at Disney. I'm going to tell you I want a date. You're going to ask me out right then and there.
You thought you were controlling the situation. I put my foot down. I was like, mm-mm.
You were like, I'm in the driver's seat. I thought I was the one. I thought he wanted to date me so bad. He's going to jump at the chance. And so another week goes by. We go on this date. We go to the beach. It's like nighttime. We're laying down on the beach looking at the stars. And then you asked me to be your girlfriend. And so then it was official. But we were both still in the mindset of, like, we'll probably break up when we go to college.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of people talk about falling in love at first sight. And I, like, if that's your truth and your story, like, not going to invalidate that. 100% that happens for people. But for us, I think it was a very slow fall. And then once we did, it was, like, all at once.
No, and then, well, okay. One little segment there about, like, the dating thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big thing is because I wanted to... I don't know, in like a traditional sense, make something out of the asking out, which I always laugh at because my parents always never understood the point of like asking someone out.
Yeah, your parents were like, you guys are already going on dates, like, so you're dating.
You guys were dating. You guys went on dates, so therefore you're dating. Like, what does it mean to ask someone out? Like, it was like this kind of weird middle step of, will you be my girlfriend? Like, officially, like, usually it's like, oh, if you're dating, then you're dating. I don't know.
My parents always thought that was weird, too. I remember especially, like, in middle school and high school, if it was like, oh, blah, blah, blah is going out with blah, blah, blah. It's official. And my mom would be like, well, haven't they been, like, flirting and having a relationship with each other for a while? And I was like, yeah, but it wasn't official. He didn't ask her out.
Yeah. So, like, the whole asking out thing is kind of...
I think it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Let us know. New. If you're significantly older or younger than us, let us know, like... Did you ask your significant other out? Did it, like, just kind of ease into an official relationship? Like, what was that transition from?
I remember thinking around, like, the late high school, early college era. Like, what was that dynamic like?
Yeah. Yeah. But sorry. Continue.
Okay. All right. Where are we? So we just started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward, here we are.
So, Mr. Storyteller.
Wait. Let me think. I can be creative. Oh, well, okay. So... We start dating, and then we're getting ready for college. And then it comes time to, like, make decisions.
We both ended up choosing schools that were near each other. So that made the decision, I think, harder. Because I think if we had gone to schools on different sides of the country or even different sides of the state, yeah. I think we would have just been like, this was the plan all along. Yep. Peace out. Ending on good terms. Maybe hook up with you when I get home.
Yeah. And so during that time, I was very serious about school. School was like, no offense, my sweet wife, but school was my number one priority then.
It was your whole life.
It was. I was very determined to like make the most of the, you know, opportunities I had with school, and I was transferring, and I spent all this time at community college. Like, that was really inspired and excited to go to a four-year and get my degree and to get a job in my field. So school is my absolutely number one, and I was like, okay, I'm going to choose schools, like, independent of you. And so I was really encouraging Sierra, like, what do you want to do? Go find what you want to do. Go to school, wherever you want to go. Like, we're dating, but also school's very important and probably bigger.
And we had only been dating for 6 months.
Yeah, my sell point was, like, school's bigger than what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And so, because there's like points, talk about going to the same school, but I was like, nope, I won't even consider that. Like, when I choose a school, Sierra would be zero part of that. Like,
which, no, but that's the right way to do it.
It is. And it's
because there was no guarantee that this relationship was going to work out.
And I was so motivated by school. And it's, you know, I've seen people go the other way of that. And
then they pick a school they don't actually want. And then the relationship ends.
They break up. And then now the school they don't want. I don't know. Yeah. So I was very serious about going where I believed in. And that's what I did. So.
But we ended up going to not the same school, but within like, I think it was like 30 minutes of each other. And so I thought, because at that point you had already told me you loved me. Mm-hmm. We were getting relatively serious, but not like we weren't talking about like marriage or anything like that. But I thought that once you picked a school and we realized that we were going to be close to each other, I wanted there to be some sort of conversation where we made a decision, and you were ice skating your way around that conversation. Yeah. You did not want to think about it. You were like, you kept saying, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. And I was like, I am totally fine if we break up, but I need to know. Because
I think the frustration stemmed from my outlook on school of like, well, we're having fun, but like, I don't want to think long picture because I need a, I'm just going to, whatever happens after school, we'll figure out. But like for now, school, 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 school. And you know, that was when in a nice relationship, not a healthy mindset. So I think that's frustrated you that I couldn't look past like what I was doing in school.
Yeah.
And you, because Sierra started planting the seeds of like, ooh, like, is there a life for us after this? Like, is this it? And then I remember there was a lot of interesting conversations, and
I finally got him to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And he said, I remember you were like, I want to stay together, but I'm not going to make that choice for you because you also need to make that choice. And you said you wanted to go to college single and you didn't want to be tied down. And so I am happy to stay in this relationship, but also if you end it with me, I'm not going to like hate you. And
now, wait, I'm confused. You said I wanted to go to school single and not tied down?
I did.
Oh.
You had that sorry if that was confusing. So we finally had that conversation.
I never said that.
And Steven, yeah, you never said that. Steven said, I am happy in this relationship. Yeah, yeah. I want to stay in this relationship. But I know that you, Sierra, me, had expressed a desire to go to college single. So if you want to end it, I'm not going to hate you. I'm fine with it. We can part our ways friends.
And so more context to that, because I think context there is important. It was, you know, it was very clear that when, especially when I got to my four-year university to get my bachelor's, it was very clear, like, school's number one priority. I will always choose school. Like, if there's something big, you know, I'm going to focus on that. And
I think that's one of the reasons that you were nervous, because you, and throughout even that first 6 months of the relationship, because you were so focused on school at the community college, you, I think, kept expecting me to get mad at you for canceling on things because you had homework or missing things because you had work or whatever. And I think, I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember you telling me that you were very surprised at how understanding I was about school.
And it should not come as a surprise. That's not a fair thing to do in a relationship. So in previous relationships, that was an issue. So,
for you.
Yeah. So that's why I really appreciated your outlook on it, and you always encouraged me.
Well,
like,
yeah,
through that, I was like falling for you even harder. I was like, oh, you get me. Like, thank you.
Well, I
feel seen.
I was so excited to be with someone who had those aspirations. And I've always been someone who's very goal-oriented. And in a lot of my past relationships, I had been the one who wanted to plan this career and plan this life and focus on my education. And the other guys that I had been talking to were kind of didn't have those aspirations. Yeah. And so to me, I was just excited that I was dating someone who was so driven. And my that's also what yeah. made my parents love you so much, is because they were like, oh my God, he's the hardest working person ever. He has all these goals and aspirations and he's so nice.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I always thought it was, I was always surprised at you being surprised that I was understanding of your school, because I was like, well, duh. Well,
I mean, and that's, it is fair that I should be surprised, because again, it's not a fair ask in a relationship to be like, oh, could you be like number two for a while? Like, I'm gonna go focus on
number one
school thing for a couple years. So,
but that summer in between when we went to college, like when we'd been dating for like 6 months, Steven was working at the county fair, and he worked as a dishwasher,
yeah.
and he was taking summer school. And the only time that he was able to hang out with me was from midnight until 4 a.m. because you worked the night shift at the fair.
Yeah, that, and this was only for like 2 months.
It's like 2 months.
But it was like a hectic, it was like 2 months where like, I won't see you, but if you, because I don't know, I was kind of an idiot and I got taken advantage of at this place, but that's fine.
But I
worked like 18-hour days, like a sweet 6 a.m.
You used
like,
to sleep in your car sometimes?
Yeah, I'd literally sleep behind a gas station.
But so there was that that summer, again, I think you kept thinking like, why does she want to stick around through this? But to me, that was really attractive, that yeah. you were someone who was willing to put in that work and like work hard. And I was like, okay, like this guy, he's working hard. And also I worked a lot that summer because I worked for a theater that did drama camps during the summer.
Yeah.
And so it was like every single day for like 6 weeks straight from like 7 a.m. to like 7 p.m. And I just work. And yeah. so we both just grinded out that summer, and then we went to college. And when we got to college, we weren't that serious when we got to college, were we?
I think it was a couple months into college is then like where I like...
We fell hard.
That's when I really learned what love was, is what mm. is how I'll word that. Because like there's like the, oh, I'm in love with you, but like I feel like at... saying that in high school and early on, like I didn't know what love was, but I feel like a couple months into college I learned what real love was, and that's when I was like, ooh, wait a second, what's the big picture here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So
I think we went to college not having this like we're together forever mindset. It was just, you know, this is a good relationship, it's a healthy relationship, we're both happy and understanding of each other.
Yeah.
Things are good. And I think at least for me, it was only like a month after I moved into college, because I went from knowing everyone around me, living with my parents, having this giant support system, to going to college where it was a totally different environment. I'm living yeah. in the dorms. It's brand new. And you were kind of like my rock.
Well, and that's the thing. You were my, right? So we were both, it was because of the timing of everything, that's what sped everything up. So like we had just started dating. We formed this bond. We both get thrown in these completely new situations where we're all of a sudden very alone, and then we have each other to lean on, and that like greatly accelerated our relationship. And,
yeah,
you know, because we're not even at 1 year yet.
No.
So yeah. like it was just the way everything played out, is that how we got like slingshotted into a very quick serious relationship, because, you know, taking school very seriously, then relying on you to like, you were that one rock for me. And
you also didn't have a car. Do you remember that?
I had a car, but I had like decommissioned it or whatever the heck
you
it's
left
called.
It at your parents' house.
Yeah, I left it at my parents' house and like unregistered it, because I was like, I don't need a car for my first year.
I would drive you everywhere.
Little did I know I'd have a sweet girlfriend half an hour away who would want to be hanging out,
pick you up. But we spent a lot of time together that first semester of college, and I drove you to a lot of things. And
I remember I'd be doing like interviews and you'd have to drive me to my interview.
Yeah. I would drop you off at your interview and then come back and pick you up, and I'd pick you up so we could go grocery shopping for, you know, we didn't live together. He lived in the dorms at his college and I lived in the dorms at my college, but because I had a car, I think you also relied on me for that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I got better at public transportation. I started like, oh, I could take a bus and train.
You take the trolley to my dorm.
Yeah. But San Diego has bad public transportation. It would take me like, you're half an hour away, but it would take me like an hour and a half to get to you.
Yeah.
Which today that would be different because I greatly improved that.
It better now?
It is way better now. So, but shame we didn't get to take advantage of that.
Yeah. So that first semester at college, I think, is when we got serious, and it went from, oh, this is a fun relationship, to like, we see a future together.
Yeah, and I'd say, I can't really remember much, but I would say that started happening because, right, so first quarter semester was in fall,
mm-hmm.
Then you go into the next year.
And what happened is January, I made the decision to move out of the dorms, and I got an apartment. And the apartment I got was much closer to your school.
Yeah.
And when I was looking for an apartment, because I didn't know if I wanted to be closer, because I started doing school online, I left the university that I had been going to. So then it was like, oh, I don't have to be near this college. I can get an apartment anywhere. And we had been talking about moving in together at the end of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, I don't want to rush this conversation, but I'm going to get an apartment for myself. And I can get a lease that's like a year long and you can move in 6 months. But like, I need a commitment from you now before I choose an apartment close to your school. And you were like, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's move in together at the end of this school year. So I got an apartment right down the street from his college and I lived there by myself for 6 months, which was a really, I think, important.
And no dogs.
No, I had Bruiser.
The whole time?
Yes, the whole time. From the day I moved in.
So no Bella.
Bella, because I didn't think it was fair to bring Bella to that apartment when I was like leaving all the time and she's so needy.
Yeah, Bruiser's a little sweet angel.
Bruiser's chill. She was like fine sitting on the couch. So Bella stayed at my parents' house. I had Bruiser. And that 6 months, I think, is when I grew up.
Yeah.
Because I was in this apartment on my own. I was navigating life on my own. I had two jobs and was doing school online. And that's also when I started YouTube.
Yeah, because we don't need to go into this too much, but that was also a time I think you were like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, what's the big picture for me? And I always reflect on that. We've never had this conversation, but I always reflect on that. Like, if I was in your shoes and being near me, like, I must have been, like, annoying about it. But like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And then, I don't know, to have you go through something where you didn't have any idea what you're doing, kind of thing.
A career crisis.
Yeah, a career crisis. Like, oh no, why am I going to school? What do I want to do? This makes no sense.
I actually disagree. I don't think it was annoying to watch you do that. I think it was inspiring because I was around this person all the time who was so certain about you were always certain.
So it kind of made you second guess, like, wait, do I actually care about this that much?
Yes.
Like, he cares for his thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Perspective makes sense.
So for context, the college that I was originally at, I was majoring in youth theater. They cut my major because I was the only person in the program, and they wanted to put me into the musical theater performance major because I had already auditioned for all the performance classes just because I like performing.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh, you're good enough to be in the program. You know, the program director has already accepted you, so congratulations, you're a performance major. And I was like, but I was majoring in youth theater because I wanted to be a youth theater director. I don't know. I don't want to be a performer. I don't want to move to New York and do the whole auditioning thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's what I want for myself. So that's when I dropped out of that school and started doing school online. And I was going to, I went through like 8 different majors. I was like, I'm an English major. I'm going to be an English teacher. And then I was like, I'm a women's studies major. I'm a this major. I'm a that major. I'm not going to college. I'm going to college. And so that was that kind of career crisis. And then you told me I should start YouTube. And I did.
Yeah, because I, like, out of a hot... Because, like, you know, obviously, when you're trying to figure... Those are big, complicated questions, and that can bring you down. Like, those are... It's just a weird place to be, and, you know, not knowing who you were going to be kind of thing. So, as, like, a hobby, as, like, hey, Sierra, like, you should just keep busy during the day while you're figuring this stuff out and, like, taking your classes. Like, find a hobby. Like, YouTube. You watch silly YouTube videos all day. You know, well, not all day, but you watched a lot of YouTube.
I've always been a fan of YouTube.
You've always been that silly girl, and obviously the personality you're on camera, like, isn't too far from like your fun side. So I was like, you can do that. Like, you know, I remember we'd watch people like Jenna Marbles and stuff, and this big personality, and I'm like, you could do that. Like, you have that kind of personality. Like, have fun with it.
And Steven really.
And it was like solely from a place. Of hobby, like,
you were never thinking someday we're gonna live in a house where like half of it is your filming studio.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't want it to be like offensive, like, oh, I gotta find my wife a hobby kind of thing, but it was like, you know, my girlfriend. And like, you were struggling with some things, and I just wanted you to like find something to keep you busy.
You wanted me to have a creative outlet.
Yes, a creative outlet.
Yeah.
So
I start YouTube, I fall in love with the process, I'm living in this apartment by myself, and I'm making content, and I'm still going to school full-time online at the time, and I was working as a birthday party princess on the weekends, so I'm doing kind of all this stuff. I'm, like, so into YouTube, like, just absolutely love it. And then we moved in... You okay? Might I down the wrong pipe?
My toe in the nose. Wow. I'm back.
So I move into that apartment in January. I live in that one. It was a one bedroom, 400 square foot apartment, and it was the biggest slice of freedom for me. I was like just thriving. I really, really loved it. I learned a lot. I grew a lot. I think I matured into the kind of person who was ready for a serious relationship, living with a boyfriend, potentially getting engaged. Those questions were starting to pop into my mind. So that June, when you moved out of your dorm, you moved in with me and brought...
Well, it was June. Good memory.
I told you. I have good memory with this stuff.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I feel like we could do a whole other podcast on like the beginning. Because I know you and Skylar talked about your YouTube journey, whatever your story.
Yeah.
I feel like we could go into a little more detail on those like beginning couple months and like, you know, from the beginning couple months, like leading to that first night when I was at school. I was at school like at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then we were like texting like, oh my gosh, like one of my videos is, what the, there's a lot of views on it all of a sudden. Like that first time that was happening.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a whole interesting story that's like, you kind of walk through those steps.
Let us know down in the comments if you guys would want a podcast of Steven and I together kind of talking about my YouTube journey and all those little things. I think that could be fun.
And I don't know if it'd be interesting or not to hear my like perspective on it. Like you were hustling. I think Sierra since day one was like, this is my future.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Whereas I was like, oh, like she's like busy and this is cool and like her videos are fun to watch and then what it turned into. So I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. Being a little cheerleader the whole way is kind of interesting kind of thing. But
You were always my biggest cheerleader. You and Skylar.
So we
move in together that June.
And I think to my point earlier about the experience, like our path through life was just like right between everything. So like it really accelerated everything. Like the YouTube stuff, like it even launched us like further. Like we really, once it started growing, like we really just started leaning on each other more, and that sped relationships up even faster. And like, so, you know, by the time we got married, we were dating for like what, 4 years?
4 years.
Three, 4 years.
So we moved in together in June of 2015. And then, June of 2015.
Because I transferred to my 4 year at 2014.
Yep. So it was June of 2015. And then we got engaged in April of 2016. Yeah, so we lived together. I think before we moved in together, we were serious. But at least for me, within a week of us moving in together, I was like, oh, this works. Because living with a partner is definitely different than living in your separate spaces, but hanging out all the time and spending a lot of time together. And I had been told by, you know, every blog that I'd read or every person I've talked to of living together is hard. The first year of living together is hard. And so I was expecting like this tough battle of moving in together. And we moved in together and I was like, this is just great.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And, you know, our lifestyles are really similar in how we kind of do things. You know?
We meshed well together.
We meshed well. And I think my only big complaint was just like, oh, you should like pick up your clothes over here.
I've always been messy with my clothes. That was my one thing.
But other than that, you know, it was good. We learned, and then, you know, just living together and like in the context of school was really good because like school is kind of a distraction for like just everything else. So and it was really good. Just the way our story played out was perfect for us, and it, because I always reflect like, oh, like, haha, we got married young and everything. But then it's like when I like think about our journey, it's like, oh, there's like no way we couldn't have ended at that point. So
yeah,
it was good. And yeah.
So we got engaged April of 2016. We set the date for, and you know what? January of 2016 is when we got really serious about wanting to get engaged. So we had talked about engagement and the future. And in January of 2016, we sat down and had like a long, hard conversation. And we were both, because for me, I never wanted a surprise proposal. I never wanted, like, I never wanted to be caught off guard. To me, I thought it was really important that if you get to think about it and have time to decide if you want to get married and then propose, it's not really fair to just spring the question on me.
No, it isn't. And if, I mean, so we talked about, like, well, yeah, we could definitely do this forever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, beep, beep. Nope, I am not doing anything until I get out of school.
So that was what he had always said, is like, we will get married when I get out of school. And then that January is when we sat down and had that conversation, and I remember why. It was because you thought you might be having an like graduating and then having an internship on the other side of the country, and you wanted me to go with you.
It was the Bay Area stuff.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was the internship, but it was also like thinking like, well, when I graduate,
I thought it was in Boston. Or Seattle, or there was a bunch. There was
I think
a bunch
it
was, of them.
I think it was Bay Area. Oh, Seattle. Mm-hmm. It was Seattle, and then also, like, I knew that when I graduated, I most likely would be going back to that place or going up to north, just far out of San Diego. And yeah. that if I wanted to string you along, I'd need to
put a ring on it.
Yeah. As our Queen Beyonce once said.
Yes.
So
that January, we sat down and had that conversation, and then we went ring shopping together. And yeah. I knew that you bought a ring the and day we went.
To clarify, not ring shopping, like, if you were to like a ring, what kind of ring would you like?
We went to a like, couple ring stores.
Get me sized yeah.
and choose a style.
Yeah.
And so I had.
And not choose a style. Let me know what
style
you
like. Let me know what style I like.
That's the context. So.
So I had decided I liked the 3-stone style because that's what both my grandmother and my mother had. And so I thought it was really cool to have something that was yeah. kind of similar to what they had.
And I like that too, because my mom was always like, oh, the past, the present, and the future. So like, that's what I saw in the 3 stones. Like,
yeah. So that day I tried on this ring. And I told Steven, I like rings like this. It doesn't have to be this exact one, you know, get whatever you want. But like, I like this style. And then the ring salesman was like, oh, here, Sierra, you can take this bridal magazine and go read it on that couch over there. Here, come with me, Steven, and we'll talk specifics. And he bought the ring right then and there.
Yeah, those guys are really good at their job. Like car salesmen, but a million times better.
So Steven bought the ring that day and then waited quite a few months to propose.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because then we kept like going around to look at other styles at other stores. And then I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm like, really bad headache. We should just go home. Like, we should fro you? Like,
and
try to bribe you to exit.
I didn't, of course, I didn't know he had bought the ring at the first store we went to. And so then when we went to the other store.
And I was like, oh, look at this one. I'm like, oh, no, that's trash. Like, oh, look how ugly that one is.
I thought you were getting cold feet.
Yeah. I was like, sharp, like, we need to get out.
You were like, I'm done ring shopping. Let's go get froyo. Like, I've had enough today. I'm done. And so. I'm not thinking, oh my god, he bought a ring. I'm thinking, oh, he's getting cold feet.
Like, this is too much.
This is getting too serious for him. And so I kind of laid off after that, and we never went ring shopping again. And so I thought, okay, maybe he needs more time to think about this. And so I actually was surprised when you proposed in April, because I didn't know that you had bought a ring.
It was, again, kind of the traditional stuff, like asking you out. I took a lot of pride in trying to surprise you with I knew it wasn't going to be like a big surprise, but like I still wanted to find a way to surprise you with it.
And you did.
Yeah.
He asked me to go on a hike, and I will link our proposal video in the description.
It's all on video. I had my sweet friends from college all figure it out how we could document it. Because Sierra and I hadn't really discussed it in great detail. She's like, it would be nice to have some photos if you do ask me. But of course I wasn't going to tell her when I was going to do it, because I knew she wanted to like get her hair done and nice nails, and that was not part of the equation for me.
My nails,
I was like, oh yeah,
chipped.
I will, of course we'll make sure you're aware of that, because I was like, I don't care.
So we went on a hike, and then when we got to the top, I saw a bunch of, and you had asked your friends from college that I hadn't met so that I wouldn't recognize them, which was so smart. So I see all like 3 or 4 guys up there with cameras.
I mean, this is like a nature reserve, like over the beach.
It's
like
Torrey Pines.
Everyone hiking has a camera kind of thing. So,
but I remember I saw these 4 guys with cameras, and I said, I wonder why there's so many people with cameras today. And he said, oh, it's probably like for a photography class. You know, the flowers are blooming. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, didn't think anything else of it. But I just thought that was so cool that you had your friends there in disguise, and our families were also there.
Yeah, they're hiding around the back part of the trail.
So. When I said yes, they all ran out, and it was, you did such a good job.
Yeah, and there's actually a cute little video about it. So,
It is so cool that so much of our relationship is documented.
Yeah, it's also terrifying.
It is. I was going back and I was rewatching a bunch of vlogs the other day, and I watched our first apartment tour of our first place, which I will also link. And I was so awkward on camera, like just the difference in how much more comfortable I've gotten. Not even, you know, I shouldn't even say on camera, because just as a person, how much more comfortable I've gotten with myself. You can tell by my body language in that video that I'm like, so this is our apartment. You can just see the insecurity like easing out of me. And now, like in our vlogs, I think we're very comfortable with ourselves and comfortable with who we are in our relationship, and it's cool seeing that evolution.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so then, you know, after that, we kind of go into the wedding stuff, and that's a whole other ball game, I feel like, so.
Yeah.
That's more or less our little story.
TLDR, after that, we got married. Then we moved to a different apartment. We got a 2-bedroom. Then we bought a house. And then we bought this house. Now we sold our first house. That vlog actually is going up the day before this podcast. So I will link that in the description as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a good ride so far.
That it has.
Go team.
Go team.
Yeah. Anyways, that's our story. I hope there was something interesting to take out of that. But if not, well, thanks for sticking with
us. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any parting words about our story? I'll go first.
Parting words?
Yeah. I think there is kind of this almost... I don't even know how to put it. I think a lot of the times there is this desire to have like a perfect love story and like a perfect romance and this just like beautiful, we were in love from the very first moment and this and that. And I think what's beautiful about our story is that it's ours and it's yeah. it's not perfect. And, you know, we didn't fall in love and get married a day later. It was a yeah. journey and we grew a lot together. And, you know, we got married when I was 21 and you were 24. And... we were young then. We're still young now. I'm now 24 and you're 27.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to grow together.
Yeah.
And I look back at the beginning of our relationship and I see two different people. Yeah. And we've gotten... because we did meet when we were so young, we have gotten to grow not only in our own relationship, but encourage each other to grow as people individually.
Yeah.
And...
There's a lot to even be said about that. Like
right. Just they say that
the way we compliment each other in different ways. So.
We're so different. And my family just adored Steven from the moment they met him because he was so different than me. And you balance me out in all the ways that I just need. And yeah. it was just two little puzzle pieces sliding yep. together.
And you brought so much fun to my life. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy who could have been happy sitting in a dark room programming and then, like, going home in a dark room, play games and just rinse and repeat. And I'm living a very different life, but still have my games, so I'm very happy. But yeah, it's very fulfilling, and I'm very happy. And I'm excited to see what the future holds.
I know. I love you.
I love you.
I love matching.
Yay. And on that, we're matching shirts, that's what you mean.
Do you keep forgetting that we're wearing matching shirts?
Yes, I don't. I never am aware of what I'm wearing, so it's always a surprise. Oh, hey, look.
All right, well, thanks guys for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our vlog channel, and I will see you next week. Not sure if it'll be with Steven or with Skylar, but yep. regardless.
We're keeping it fluid, you know, we're... making sure everyone's content where they are.
Going with the flow.
Going with the flow. And also, bye-bye air conditioner.
Yeah.
I think I can hear it now, so that's a little alarming, but there we go.
Hopefully it was okay. Bye, guys.
Thank you.